You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
Welcome again to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. If it's your first time here, I want to say welcome and let you know what we're all about. Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. On this show, we have former boxing champion Layla Ali versus Kanye West, well, more or less. Layla Ali versus Kanye West. We have DMC, which is Daryl McDaniels from Run DMC, versus Jay-Z and Lil Wayne. It was kind of a shot at both of them, so we're just kind of asking the question, is that a black-on-black crime? Ayanna Van Zandt, comments that she made against black women, and there was some cyber talk about what she said, so we're also going to kind of address that and see what's going on. I actually have a Spike Lee update. I know we did Spike Lee on the last show, but we might have a Spike Lee update. And George Duke passed away, so we're going to have a break of some George Duke music. Now, we have that in the world of news and entertainment, and we have more. Just remember, you can send your comments or questions or anything to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. You can check out our shows in the archives if you missed any and you want to catch up. Now, last week's show, it was Spike Lee using Kickstarter in that backlash, Jay-Z versus Harry Belafonte. Harry Belafonte came up with some more comments. They need to talk, but that's on the last show. And we had our Uncle Ruckus watch, which was featuring CNN's Don Lemon. So you can catch that in the archives. You can go to www.espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. That's espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com/BOBC. We also launched our Facebook page today, so if you want to go on Facebook and send us some comments. Hey, and the chat room's open, by the way. But if you want to go on Facebook, our new Facebook page is BOBC Show. That's the Black on Black Crime Show. BOBC Show on Facebook if you want to put your comments there. Now, we won't be manning that too much today, I just want to tell you. But it's out there if you want to go check that out. Again, if you want to check us out in the archives, SoulofSyracuse.com, Esprit Radio, /BOBC, and you can check out our last couple of shows. Just remember, if you call in, we want you to keep your comments relevant, avoid profanity, vulgarity, and obscenity, or I am quick to put you on mute. So, just so that you know the rules of the program. We like to start off the show with a little bit of news and just kind of some updated stuff that's in the world of news before we really get into our program. Denzel Washington has confirmed that he is indeed returning to Broadway in 2014 to star in a revival of Lauren Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun. It was on Broadway in 2004, actually with Sean Combs. He played Walter Lee Unger, and Andrea McDonald was his wife. And Felicia Rashad played his mother, and Sanaa Lathan played in that. But they're now starting to announce the cast of the new Raisin in the Sun. So Denzel Washington has committed to coming on there. Actually, he said that on his social media. Go on and check that out. We also have Shaquille O'Neal. Now, if you don't know, Shaquille has always been a bit of a what's the word I'm looking for? He's been always a bit of an entrepreneur. So Shaquille O'Neal now has a sports drink. You know, the former NBA star, MVP, NBA Finals MVP, and he's now a commentator for TNT throughout the year. So Shaquille O'Neal has a new soda coming out. It's called something like Soda Shack. It's kind of named after him. It's now his own soda namesake. It's going to be at 7-Eleven. They announced that a national rollout of this Arizona beverage, I guess it's from the same company that does the Arizona brand stuff. They have a new all-natural line of cream sodas, and now it's going to be at participating 7-Eleven stores nationwide. 7-Eleven is the largest convenience store retailer. Shaquille O'Neal now has his soda in his namesake. Broadcaster, and, you know, we've had him on Uncle Ruckus Watch and all of these. We've had our moments on Tavis Smiley because he does commit a ton of black-on-black crime. So broadcaster Tavis Smiley announced that the Tavis Smiley program that he put exclusively apparently on Blog Talk Radio, and, you know, we are broadcasting on Blog Talk as well, but we're on Esprit Radio on Blog Talk. They're broadcasting us. BTR is the world's largest social broadcasting network. Tavis announced that they had 1.5 million listeners since their launch in June, so they've been bringing in big numbers. Again, he's been on Black on Black Crime. His name has been out here quite a few times. Now, 18-year-old Gabrielle Turnquist recently became the youngest person to pass the bar exam in the UK. She said, "I'm honored to be the youngest person to pass the bar exam, but really, I was not aware at the time what the average age was. I didn't fully realize the impact the average age of a typical lawyer graduating from the University of Law Bar Professional Training is what it's called. Their training course in the UK is 27. Now, ironically, Turnquist isn't the only child in her family that passed the UK bar. Her sister Candy also took the same course and passed the bar when she was 22. Now, I know this sounds like a foreign story to you, but they're both from the U.S. So studying at the University of Law, she said, had broadened her horizons and introduced me to a global legal system that can help her in her future career. She wants a career in the international fashion industry. She wants to kind of study law around the world to know what she's getting into, which is very smart. But this isn't Gabrielle's first time making history, by the way. She's from Florida, so the Florida teen was also the youngest person to graduate with a degree from Liberty University in Virginia at the age of 16. She said her ultimate goal was to build a career in fashion law specialist. So congratulations to Gabrielle Turnquist. You know, we like to do a little news before we start off the show. Again, I want to welcome you to Black on Black Crime, and I just realized I did not say the number. You can call in and join us at area code 909-265-9189 if you want to join in on the program or comment on some of the stories that we're going to comment on today's show. Our main topic today is Layla Ali versus Kanye West, and we're also going to talk about DMC versus Jay-Z and Lil Wayne while we're at it. And again, we have some more stuff coming up on the show, but those are our main topics. And again, you can join in or hit us up in the chat room for any questions or comments that you may have. But before we take our break, which we're going to take a break in a second, I want to acknowledge George Duke's passing. So on our outro, just want to give you a little sample of George Duke. Okay, if you're not familiar with George Duke, he's the legendary jazz keyboardist. He died this week. So Duke's career expanded 5 decades. He collaborated with artists such as Miles Davis, Barry Manilow, Frank Zappa, George Clinton, Gladys Knight, the Pointer Sisters, Anita Baker, Rochelle Pharrell. Sheila E. was actually in his band, Al Jarreau, Tina Marie, the list goes on. A lot of Brazilian musicians, pop musicians in Brazil. So, since he passed away, just want to honor him before we go into break. This is George Duke. We're still going to play a break from George Duke, but this is one of his familiar songs we wanted to play on the way out. So, we'll be back after this. Black on Black.
Welcome to Esprinet News 90-second News Break. The U.S. economy added 162,000 new jobs in July, and the unemployment rate dropped to 7.4%, the lowest since 2008. Now, that was down from 7.6% and was the lowest jobless rate in 4 years. U.S. home prices also jumped to this biggest annual gain since 2006. The kite patch claims to make humans invisible to mosquitoes. It could stop the spread of malaria. Now, the patch uses non-toxic compounds that disrupt mosquitoes' ability to find people through CO2 for up to 48 hours. Spike Lee praised 26-year-old director Ryan Coogler for bringing the independent film Fruitvale Station to the big screen. Lee says that he loved it and it was great. Now, a federal appeals court in California said the father of Oscar Grant, who's the main character of that movie, can sue Bay Area Rapid Transit officer who is responsible for the 22-year-old's death in 2009. North Carolina has adopted a budget that includes $10 million to compensate victims of forced sterilization. That sterilization was between 1929 and 1974. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Espritnet News on ACN.
Starting Sunday, this coming Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a new show called Professional Style, where we talk about singles, professionals, parents, travel, lifestyle, and living. If you are a professional, if you're single, you're a parent, or whatever your status in life, Professional Style, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network.
The sound that shattered barriers, shaped our lives, and made us all move together comes to Broadway in Motown, the musical. The real story of how founder Berry Gordy and the whole Motown family created a soundtrack that changed America. The beat of a generation, the soul of a nation. Get ready, because here it comes. Motown, the musical. Previews begin March 11th.
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step one, gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Good.
Step two, keep those legs strong. And step three, don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. You know, we had to come back in from break with Run DMC because a part of our program today is DMC versus Jay-Z and Lil Wayne. He made some statements, and we're just going to try to see if it's a black-on-black crime. Not sure. Can't really tell. But I want to welcome you back to the program. If you want to call in and join us, it's area code 909-265-9189. If you want to check us out, the chat room is now open. And if you want to send us an email, just bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. That's bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. All right, I think I got all of those things out of the way. Now, as we go into the program, like I said, since George Duke passed away, we are going to actually talk about some things that were, we're going to have a break for George Duke. But before we get into that and we get into that part of the program, we have some other news that we want to talk about. You heard in the news break that Spike Lee praised 26-year-old director Ryan Coogler for bringing in the independent film Fruitvale Station to the big screen. Lee said he loved the movie but confessed that the film business is not set up for young directors like Coogler to succeed. He said, "I loved it. It was great. Fruitvale Station is what he was talking about, but something that I've been doing for 15 years is teaching film." He said that's his job, to help young filmmakers become professionals. It's a tough business, so I'm happy for him. I'm happy for any young filmmaker that gets his first feature film made, because Lord knows the odds are against you. This business is not set up for young people to succeed. So I wanted to finish off Spike Lee's quote in saying that, because as a Spike Lee update, I know we did this, if you want to check out the show in the archives, our last show, we talked about Spike Lee using Kickstarter and the backlash that he got from Kickstarter. So I decided whenever we do Spike Lee on the show, whenever we talk about a Spike Lee story, and since we have an update from his Kickstarter, we'll start to play some Spike Lee. Spike Lee's going to have a theme song on Black Crime. So we'll play a song by Sky Zoo, who is a rapper out of New York City, who wrote a song about Spike Lee. So we'll run this as a bed as we do more of this update. All right, this is Spike Lee is My Hero, in case you want to get it. But I think it came out earlier in the year, so if you want to get that, get it. But actor Matthew McConaughey recently recorded a video of himself kind of talking about Spike Lee and his Kickstarter campaign. And what he said about his favorite Spike Lee film was, you know, he was showing support for Lee's new Kickstarter program. Now, he released a YouTube. McConaughey said his favorite film was Malcolm X, the 1992 Malcolm X, that he called a great piece of American history. Now, the actor mentioned the way that Spike Lee shot Malcolm X, certain scenes have a unique effect on him as a viewer. So actors Hannah Simone from New Girls, filmmaker Lucy Malloy, among others, have always taken to YouTube, or has also taken to YouTube, to show their support for Lee's, you know, Kickstarter campaign. One of the first big celebrities to start a Kickstarter campaign, also in the spirit of crowdfunding, was Whoopi Goldberg. She had a modest goal of $65,000. She raised $73,000. So with 2 weeks to go, Spike Lee has raised over $725,000 for his campaign for his movie. His goal is $1,250,000 is his goal. He has about $500,000 left for 14 days, and we're going to see. So Spike Lee is well on his way. So we just wanted to do a quick Spike Lee update with a Spike Lee bed for it. So this is Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. On that note, let's bring in our commissioner. How you doing, commissioner?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good today. I'm doing good.
That's good. You know, I figured, I knew you was on the move, so I didn't want to you know, just kind of throw you in the middle of the fire, but just kind of had to do a Spike Lee update. I usually do at the end of the show, but...
That's cool. I came in on the $73,000. I was like, oh, where do I sign up?
Yes, Whoopi Goldberg, her fundraising goal was $65,000, and she did a crowdsource or crowdfunding, and she made $73,000 to do the Mom Maybelline project, and that's before HBO bought it. So just to get the film finished, you know, you need money to finish it, and then you get a distributor. So the initial money, Whoopi, kind of went to this fundraising source of, I think she went to Kickstarter as well, but she might have went, it might have gone to Indigo Pop.
Okay.
Oh, but you can raise money for records. If you have a CD coming out, you can raise it for a lot of stuff on there. But people have done.
I like it. And the thing about the Kickstarter too, you can make the, you know, your folks can make the pledge, and if you don't reach the goal, they're not charged anything. So I like that.
Right. It goes back if you don't make the goals. People don't like other folks raising money. I say don't give it if you have a problem with people raising money online.
I don't have a problem with that at all. A girlfriend of mine is in a Kickstarter campaign right now. You know what? Okay, so Kickstarter, if you're listening, the thing that I have an issue with is folks can't use PayPal. Expand to PayPal, Kickstarter.
They won't accept PayPal payments, huh?
You have to use a credit card. You have to use, like, I think they take all the major credit cards, including, I think they take Discover, too, but they don't take PayPal. And I'm like, yo, dude, what's up with that?
Now, I can probably guess why they're doing that. But you can get a PayPal credit card, like, for your account. I mean, it's more like a debit card from your PayPal. But they're probably doing that because they freeze the money that you donate opposed to a debit so that it goes back. So they don't actually withdraw until you make the actual goal, and then they take the money out. So it's like going to a gas station. You know, you know how some of them say pay first, and so you'll pay on the pump before you pump the gas? Well, it actually clears minimally $20, I think it is. And then if you put $10, it only charges you $10, but it clears this initial amount first. So what Kickstarter does, I think what it does with your credit card is it clears the amount of money and then holds it kind of in limbo and won't deduct it until that campaign is over for 30 days.
PayPal takes refunds?
Oh, I know they do. But I think PayPal withdraws it first, and then you have to put it back. Maybe their mechanism of canceling those transactions is just not working for them. But work on PayPal, and that's Kathleen.
Yeah.
Well, this comes from me too. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, just work on PayPal. I would have made a couple of donations to a few things already had they accept PayPal. But now I got to think about it.
Get PayPal Kickstarter. I'm trying to help you out.
Thank you.
So I'll use PayPal if Kathleen used PayPal. So we're going to make a movement to use PayPal on Kickstarter.
Although maybe,
unless PayPal is trying to strong arm Kickstarter, we don't know. You know how corporate is.
Either way, whatever. I know they got to pay all the others. You know, they can't be strong arming any more than Visa, MasterCard, Amex, and Discover. I'm just saying.
True that. I didn't ask you how you were doing.
Celebrated my birthday Saturday. Woo-hoo!
You know, I didn't want to say that out loud because, you know, women and sensitivity on birthday, but I thought I knew your birthday was sometime soon. And I was like, that's why she's missing. She's celebrating birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was saying, but I had something to eat earlier, so my throat a little. I'm just joking. Cold, something.
Whatever. I'm surprised I didn't get a birthday song. I mean, like, yo, what's up?
You know what? You're going to get a birthday song. Don't think that they're gone. So when the crew is back, you know, Kai is in limbo. She won't be back till next week, Kai and Daniel. So when everybody come back, we're gonna do birthday for Kathleen. So as long as we know you're here, we won't do it behind your back.
Yes, I celebrate the whole month.
Exactly.
Month.
It is the month. That's how I am in September. Nobody knows my birth date because it's my birth month. That's all you need to know.
Exactly.
Since we have a window, let's go directly into Black on Black Crime. Remember, you can join us 909-265-9189. Lavinia's in the chat. Hey, girl. And, you know, we have a few people on the line, so hit one if you want to join in. But I just want to say welcome to the show. Our topic, Layla Ali versus Kanye West. Did you hear about this, Kathleen?
No.
Okay. All right, so former boxing champ Layla Ali, you know, in a recent interview with Hip Hollywood, the daughter of boxing champ Muhammad Ali, said the parents should think before naming their children unique names because those children grow up. She said, I don't like crazy names. I don't like them. And now she's the mother of two. So she says, I don't think it makes sense. You have to think about the child as they get older, what they have to deal with. And a lot of people do things as a fad and they want to get some attention, but it's like, that's your child, right? So she went on to say that celebrity parents, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, should have thought twice about naming their firstborn Northwest. She said, for me, if it's crazy, but cool and nice and makes sense, then that's one thing. But she said North and South and Leaf and Water Drop and all of these names, it's like, come on now. She says, I don't care who you are. It's just stupid, period. Is that a black-on-black crime to criticize somebody naming their child? Because she named him. So if she didn't say Kanye West, that would be a little bit different, but she named him. Do you think that that is a crime against is that a black-on-black crime to you?
No. You know why? Because I think she would have talked to anybody who named their child something crazy.
Well, she wouldn't have really been asked about it either. She didn't. I don't remember her talking about Moon Zap on them. Like, I don't think people
well,
have crazy names.
Maybe the person who asked committed a black on black crime. But
That's true. That's true. I didn't look at it like that. The crime could have been committed in asking, and I normally say that you commit those crimes usually by your audience. So somebody will ask you something crazy, and I know a lot of people figure you don't have to answer the question, but even in answering it, you don't have to be mean. That's just my personality. I say you don't have to be mean. You can be whatever you want. But don't you think that that's a little extreme for her to do that? Or you don't think you don't think it's crazy for her to say it?
Well, you didn't ask me if it was a mean on mean crime. You asked me if it was black on crime.
You just asked me if
she's mean, you know, she just might be mean. She has never struck me as like the sweetest apple in the bunch. I like her, but I wouldn't go saying
she punches people in the face for a living too. So I don't really.
Hey, what I'm saying, she's a boxer.
I don't really say you have to be nice.
For God's sake, she's a boxer. You know, and every show did you see her on
Real Husbands Hollywood. Yeah.
She was not nice. She was like letting him have it. Do you remember that?
Yes, I don't think you can box and be nice though. I think that's
exactly.
A part of falling down and getting back up. Like you have to have some kind of edge to you to be able to take those kind of criticisms.
You got to have an edge on every side, not just
exactly.
An edge. You got to be, swords
and
on
you can't
every
have
side.
Yeah, and you can't have a glass jaw either. So just either one, boxing is not your career. Now, I know this is bringing me back to the Trayvon Martin stuff, but it's like taking mixed martial arts. Like Zimmerman was taking mixed martial arts. That's not Taibo. That's not you not having contact. So you can't call someone soft and have them taking mixed martial arts where they're getting kicked in the face. And then act like, you know. So, yeah, boxers, mixed martial artists, you would never say, I thought they was a little nicer than that. So, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to take that back for Layla because I don't think you can't be nice in those sports.
Yeah, so I think we just
Now, in the chat room, Lavinia has said that she agrees with her 100%, and she said, beside, I guess Kim had more to do with it than Kanye anyway, so no black-on-black crime. Well, we wouldn't be able to bring it up if it was Kim that was talking about, but she did name Kanye, so I had to make the inference that she was, I had to infer that she was talking about Kanye more specifically, because I've never heard her talk about Kim either. You know what I mean? So it kind of brought him into the, you don't even care, do you, Kathleen? All right, so here's some of our internet comments about it. One said, if a parent wants to give their child crazy names, that's for the parent to decide, not anyone else. Layla Ali shouldn't be the one to say much when a lot of people had something to say about her dad changing his name. The person said, it's their child, and the child can change his name when he gets old enough, her name, when she gets old enough at any time that the child wants to. So just bashing it, getting on record, is probably not the thing to do. And another one said, this baby will need boxing lessons because little kids are mean for real. And the reason they named her Northwest was stupid. They should have just named her Nori West, which sounds better. It's a poor baby, and they didn't have anything nice to say about the parents. One says Muhammad Ali Muhammad Ali changed his name. So I guess that's what the consensus is that since, you know, you can change your name, it's, I'm laughing. Lavinia's in the comments saying boo to and whatever to that comment. You can't just dislike the comments. I didn't say it. So anyway, Kathleen, that's her from the gallery yelling. And one says, I really started not to like Layla anymore. She also said that she agrees with Paula Deen's behavior, so who cares what she thinks? It is stupid. All right, someone's not liking Layla today. Remember, Layla's a boxer, so I'm not going to say anything about that.
She's a boxer.
All right. She's a boxer. Oh, we have another one. Everyone is entitled to their own.
She's a maniac, maniac.
Yeah, I'm going to give Layla a theme song in a minute. But someone also wrote that everyone is entitled to their own opinion, and mine doesn't matter. The child can change her name if she doesn't like it when she gets older. I did just that. So we have somebody who actually changed their name. So, hey, get over it. They'll be okay. So I guess we ran that one in. So anyway, so just so that you know, Kathleen, I agree with Kathleen. That's technically not a black-on-black crime. Lavinia, it's not a black-on-black crime. We just, all around the board, she did say, yeah, but it sucks when you're a kid to have a stupid name. Yeah, but I can name a lot of names that when you're young do not sound nice. Like a friend of mine said years ago, it is cruel to name a little kid Margaret because that's an older person's name. So now they're going to call her Maggie, or they're going to give her an older person's nickname. I thought that was funny back then, but now that I think about it, that is a, there's no cool nickname that usually comes from that. That's just me.
Maggie.
I know, Kathleen. Well,
I think, I'm going to tell you what I really like. I really like Maggie for a guy. And let me tell you where I got that from. Hitch.
Yes, I'm scared. Oh, yes. I still don't like it for a guy, but I do remember that from Hitch.
I like that. I thought that was cool.
His name was Magnus, which they called him Maggie for short, and I'm thinking that's still cruel. For guys, I'm telling you, that's cruel for you to have a girl's name when you're young. When you're older, that might seem cool. Magnus. For a guy, a nickname from Magnus would be Magnum, right? You would make it masculine, but Maggie for a guy.
And that's just evil. Men might like that, but I just think that's evil. Men might really think that's cool, but hey.
This is my man thing coming through. I'm just saying, like, for guys would have nicknamed them something that had to do with rock, steel. It had something to do with being hard. And Maggie for girl. If he's hanging around girls, that may work. I think kids are cruel, so.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with that. Kids are cruel. So, yeah, that might be a little tough on them. But you listen to Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. We have Daryl McDaniels, you know, DMC, versus Jay-Z and Lil Wayne. Now, here's the thing. DMC was talking about the current state of hip-hop, which he felt was quite redundant. And so he made some comments off the cuff. So if you don't know who DMC is, Daryl McDaniels from Run DMC, one of the greatest, most influential, I won't say successful, I don't know what their numbers are, but most influential hip-hop groups in rap history, made a few comments about rap and possibly threw a couple of peers into the mix. We're asking, is this a black-on-black crime? So DMC said, now you got the same 12 records on the radio being played over and over again. Lil Wayne and Jay-Z ain't hot. It's just their program. So many times people are brainwashed. And he also said what made KRS and Tribe Called Quest and De La so great was that we wanted to change the world, taking responsibility for our actions, and now everything that's negative in stupid A America is celebrated. I don't know what was going on with DMC, but his whole thing was that since they're getting played over and over again, people are brainwashed to Jay-Z and Lil Wayne. Do you think that is a shot at Lil Wayne and Jay-Z, or is it just at the industry? Is it a black-on-black crime, or was he just making a statement? This would be DMC.
I am so sorry, but I just did not get – I did not follow that. I might be a little slow right now, but I was not – quick, no, excuse me, I'm not slow. A little slow on the uptake, but I
on the uptake on this?
Yeah.
Okay, but so let me put it this way. So as the old school rapper, and I had to do the history stuff first, DMC from where he comes from, just pretty much said that since they're playing the same records on the radio over and over again, people are brainwashed to Lil Wayne and Jay-Z, and he said they're not hot. So he kind of said specifically those two aren't hot, but they're being programmed and brainwashed, so they're getting all of the spins. Now, is that taking a shot at them, or is it taking a shot at the industry of brainwashing people? He did say that Lil Wayne and Jay-Z ain't hot, though. So I guess he is saying that they're not good.
That's what I thought. You know, that's what I'm saying. I'm not quite getting
it. A little fuzzy? Yeah.
A little fuzzy.
I was, too.
Yeah. So if he's saying, because they weren't asking him about, he was not being asked, or he wasn't commenting about the fact that old school, because I say that all the time. That a lot of the artists today are just not as talented and not required to be as talented as the musicians of our day. And we're not putting out, and I don't think it's not possible, but we're really just not putting out the same quality of musicians and music and so forth that we did when I was growing up, you know. And I think that that's true. I don't think it's impossible to be done now. But I just feel like the music industry is like a fast food restaurant. Get them in, get them up, get them out. Flip them, stain them, whatever,
right.
You know, and move them on through. When they get older, get rid of them. So, it's not, you know, there's no more Stevie Wonders and Whispers and Four Tops. You know, it's just not like that anymore. So my tag is on the industry on that, and also that as parents, we're not showing the worth of really putting our kids into music lessons and, you know, not the same way that we did before. You know, making sure that you're talented, you can play all these different instruments and styles of music, from classical to whatever. So, no, I don't think that if he's an old school, so let me back that up now, if he's just an old school artist making that kind of an argument, that could be considered a black-on-black crime because we're not necessarily talking about white musicians in the same way, although I think it is applicable for musicians of other cultures as well.
Right.
If he's just saying it's an industry, then, we could give him, it's a black-on-black crime, but we could give him a pass. But if he's talking straight up about Jay-Z and Lil Wayne, and he's not talking about all these other artists that are out here, than
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah,
Robin Thicke.
Yeah.
Don't make me start calling people out because it's not a black on black crime. They don't count to me.
Except that Robin Thicke has a skill.
No, they both can sing. It's not that. It's that you're being brainwashed to the same songs over and over again, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Like, they're only playing at certain spins.
Yeah.
So, it's not that. Now, Lavinia's saying in the chat room, that's not a black-on-black crime. That's just hating. And she agrees with him, but it's hating. She said he probably shouldn't have called him out by name, which I kind of think that that's the twist in it. He probably shouldn't call him out by name. That is kind of... I think that's a little bit more competitive, too. But we would have to give him a pass. I agree with you, Kathleen. This we're going to have to give him a pass on this because it is true that the industry only accepts what it accepts, and we're getting this watered-down version of what hip-hop is or what music is generally. But it's always been kind of that watered-down institution of who is acceptable by mainstream. And catering to mainstream, right? You can't say mainstream is accepting this when the only thing mainstream can have is this. So it's real tricky when you talk about music. But Finesse and I talked about this actually earlier today, is that music in turn has to, you know, have to have a paradigm change. And I was asking him, did he hear the new Adidas commercial that Run DMC is doing? Did you hear that at all?
No.
Well, they actually did an Adidas. They have a new original campaign going on. So, you know, actually we have it. Let's play this and then I'll comment on it. But it's just Adidas doing a with Run DMC. Kind of an old school feel. That's a new Adidas commercial. They're running it kind of all over the place. But it's kind of a old school Run DMC kind of thing. They have a DJ from the UK that's in it, and I don't know if they started off by just kind of targeting that market. But Run DMC is out there and, you know, putting out music. So just when he said that about Jay-Z, I'm thinking, is that a shot at Jay-Z by saying that they're just hotter than Jay-Z, or is it just because of the music industry? But, again, we may have to give him a pass on this one just because he earned it. It's kind of like earning credits. Wouldn't you say?
I'm going with you on that.
Okay, so we can give him a little credit. All right, so on the DMC, there is no black-on-black crime here. Now, although Lavinia just stepped out of chat room, she actually sent this black-on-black crime. I was going to do like an Uncle Ruckus watch. We usually do that when somebody just blatantly makes black-on-black kind of crime statements, but not directed towards anyone. But this one, I'm not sure if you saw the article with Ayana Banzai. But, okay, well.
No, but I
want to
hear it.
Okay. Because I'm not gonna take a break just in case you have to go. So. I'll just let everybody know, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. You can call in and join us on the program. You can get us in chat, or if you want to send us an email, bobc@solarsyracuse.com. We've launched a web Facebook page, by the way, BOBC Show on Facebook, in case you want to go on there. I'm not looking at it, by the way. So if you're making comments on there, we'll talk about it next show. Anyway, okay. Was that fast enough, Kathleen? I tried to rush through it.
No, I'm here. I'm trying to.
Just wanted to make sure you're still with me.
I'm not on the Facebook page. Did you put me in there?
Oh, yeah, I sent you a thing to like the page and come on.
Okay, good. I'm going to go on there and do it. Sorry about that. I didn't see that. That sounds hot.
Oh, no. It just happened. I just did it because, you know, we're coming up on our year anniversary this month for Black on Black Crime. You should have known it was around your birthday time. No, it was in your birthday month. Yes, our first show was in August, so I thought for the anniversary of Black on Black Crime, we'd expand our social media. Just a thought. We'll see how that goes before I shut it down. But we thought we'd do
that.
All
right, congratulations.
We'll see, because it'll be a happy birthday anniversary kind of show, so, hey, we'll work it out. Ayanna Van Zandt made some comments, and we kept seeing this in social media. Did not trying to figure out if this was black-on-black crime material, but it was definitely enough for discussion. Now, here's what she said. Now, she was making yet another video that went viral, you know, kind of doing her special brand of wisdom. She called black women out of order. Now, she was on OWN. She did the daddy-less daughter special on OWN, and then she went on Melissa Harris Perry, in which she examined the psychological issues of women growing up without fathers. Van Zandt made these statements to specifically address the persistent difficulties of African American women. Now, she said, "We have such a rich culture as women in this country, descendants of the parent race of humanity." Is what she told Madame Noir. She wrote an article in there, or they interviewed her. And this is on the YouTube video, by the way. She said, "We have such a rich culture, and in that culture, there are roles, purposes, and powers, and we live in a society now where women are commodities, where women are deemed diminished, demoralized in ways that we accommodate. And if we really understood who we are as feminine representation of the creator of the universe," you know, this is Ayanna, right, not me, "some of the things we experience in life, like crying when unemployed boo leaves us, and we really understand who we are, we wouldn't be so apt to let other people define us and confine us. We are out of order." Now, that thing took off, and we were asked, it was posted on our page, is that a black-on-black crime? So I ask you, Kathleen, is that a black-on-black crime? Because that's a generic black-on-black crime, but she is calling people out in a crazy kind of way. What do you think?
I just need that last sentence again when she was saying that something about, give me the last.
Yeah. She really does hide negative in the in positive words, so
yeah,
it's not tricky or anything, but this is kind of how she speaks. So she says, in the last sentence, she said, "If we understood who we were as females, when we experience things in life, we shouldn't cry when the unemployed boo leaves us. We really need to understand who we are, and we shouldn't let other people define us and confine us, because we are out of order." I'm paraphrasing.
We are, because we are what?
We are out of order. We are not working. We are not functioning correctly, is what she's saying.
Oh, okay.
Her own way, she was just saying that black women are damaged, because that's her specialty in fixing people, right? So she's saying black women, like she's blanket statement everyone. And saying, when your unemployed man leaves you, why are you crying? Because he's unemployed. Like, unemployment makes you a good person, or employment makes you a good or bad person. So I have, you can tell I'm going to have a problem with this, but I just want to know, as a woman.
I got problems with this from, you know, from a gender perspective. I have problems with it from a race perspective. I have problems with it from a Yama perspective, because I just have problems with a little bit of her technique. I have problems with that now, but let me divorce myself from the problems with it to see whether or not this is a black-on-black crime. It's definitely a woman-on-woman crime, that's for sure. And I'm going to go ahead and say that...
But she didn't call out white women, is what I'm saying.
It could
be considered a black woman-on-woman crime.
I was just trying to finish. I would say it's definitely a woman-on-woman crime, and I have to say also that it is a black-on-black crime. It's a woman-on-woman crime, it's a black woman-on-black woman crime, and it's a black-on-black crime. So let's fold all those...
She had the trifecta?
Yeah, she gets the trinity.
Exactly, okay. She worked that out. She got the highest star that you can get on the program. She got all three
right.
of them.
After all, she is a Yama.
Exactly. And so, okay, but again, my problem is that her brand of diagnosing is crazy to me. Like that, I mean, I don't watch her, so maybe I'm wrong, but my observation of her just seems to be a little bit out of left field is how she appears to me. Now, Lavinia in the chat room said, my issue, why is she diagnosing black women with out of orderedness when she is targeting issues that are affecting women of all races and nationalities? Like, when she talks about women issues, she can't call out black women to say that that's a, you know what I mean? It's like not dealing with the woman who was texting Anthony Weiner and feeling sorry for her, like he's the predator, and then blaming black women for dealing with men because they should have left their butt. You know what I mean? That's kind of an out of order thing too. So she's not talking about women issues. She's really just talking about black women. So Lavinia just said, so I called it a black-on-black crime because I'm not out of order. She's out of order, trying to make us all feel like we're crazy so that we all buy her books. She said boo in the chat room.
she is promoting herself too. And I'm not gonna go to where I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So never mind. Right. We'll just leave that.
Okay. But we do wanna say though, it's not judging her as an author or whatever her specialty is, but that is kind of wrong to put in a universe that everybody is out of order just because everybody's not out of order. So if she wants to be specific, I think she should probably be specific.
I'm going to agree with you. She's in promotion mode too, you know. She's really, so I'm just going to go there anyway. She's in promotion mode right now, and she's in a place where she is, you know, she is coming back to queendom after having burned the queen, right? So she's being So remember, she's being accepted back into the good graces of Queen Oprah. And, you know, Queen Oprah. So while she has made amends with Oprah and while she has admitted that, you know, she had transgressions and all this other kind of stuff, and even though she has spent all this time working to help other people, she still needed to help herself. She made those amends with Oprah. She did not make those amends with the rest of the black women of the world. So she still has some issues, I think, that have not been healed yet. You know, she was able to get back with Oprah, but that doesn't mean that she fixed everything. She was wise enough to say, you know, I better get right the queen. But that didn't get rid of all of her other issues, whether they're entitlement, diva, this, that, the other, and I'm not going to go start trying to diagnose Iyanla. You know, she's not here. That's not fair. But I'm just saying, when I watched her on that show, with Oprah Winfrey, I could see some stuff that just still didn't look clean to me. But that's okay. Hit her with Oprah, but she still got some other stuff going on. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm not going to call out, but in the chat, someone said, I'm not saying it's a cult, but that Oprah Ayana thing has like a cult-like following. So I used to say this about Oprah all the time. Oprah used to tell people, I wouldn't take this from no man and blah, blah, blah. Oprah don't have no man. Oprah's not married. Stedman's there, but she's rich. And so you don't know what their relationship is. We're not saying it's harmonious or not, but technically, Oprah, you can't say that because you're not, you can take care of any man that comes along. So you can get a boy toy if you want to. You can buy one. So the issue is that she would not be my poster child for harmonious relationships, not Oprah. So it's interesting when I hear people say, you know, this is all you have to do and this works for me, and then you have people following Oprah. It's like, I don't think you want to follow Oprah. Like, you might want to grab somebody who's been in a relationship for a while, you know, Catherine Zeta-Jones or something. Like, find Jada Pinkett. Like, find out why, you know what I mean? Find somebody who's in a relationship that's been in one for a long time and then say, how is that working for you? And then they'll tell you what their problems are and why they were in those kind of they were in those situations and how they dealt with it. But Oprah and Ayanna, so when Ayanna just kind of went through and said black women issues, pretty much just saying that, but she did say we are out of order. So she met herself. She, at least she didn't exclude herself and said they, but she, her whole concept of calling black women out was just kind of, it just seemed like a bit much. Now, I can't really complain about this, but I just didn't like the image of it.
Well, so there it goes. So she understands that whole we thing. She knows she still got stuff to work on. But I do think it's an issue, and I think that you were bordering on a black-on-black crime. I'm just saying.
Was
I think.
Was it? What happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, you were saying about Oprah.
Yes, and her relationship. I think.
Well,
you were,
yeah, that was close, but I was right on the sideline of black on black.
Yeah,
I didn't.
I didn't
judge her in her current relationship. I didn't call him out, and I didn't blame her. I was just saying that she. Not everybody. Everybody probably listens to the program, maybe. But it's not like they the Kennedy. She did that. She chose to put that on her show. So I didn't choose to say his name on the show. So I didn't commit the crime because I didn't call him out. I was just saying that she's not married. So in a harmonious sense, when Oprah tells you relationship advice, she says, I don't want to be married and I don't need to be, is what Oprah says. So if you're in a relationship, why would you listen to Oprah about how the harmonious relationship goes? That's all I was saying. Oh, about a marriage or anything. I wouldn't ask Ayanna. But that's her show. Ayanna Fixed My Life. So if she's good at it, that might be her thing. Like, I'm not asking her to be able to I guess it'd be like being a vegetarian, making cooking pork chops. Like, you can season food and stuff, but you don't eat meat. I don't know. I hear you, Kathleen. It might have been bordering the black on black crime, but hopefully I didn't cross the line. Were you throwing the flag on me?
You as a black woman, Jerome, I'm just saying, you're teeter tottering over there.
All right, fine. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. I did not commit one, I don't think, but I didn't get a flag thrown, so I think I just missed that one. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. Our topic today was former boxing champion Layla Ali versus Kanye West, baby name, but it was that. And we had DMC, Daryl McDaniels, and his comments about Lil Wayne and Jay-Z, kind of in a backhanded kind of way. But right now, we're going to take a George Duke break. And I know George Duke passed away. And, you know, instead of taking a commercial break, I thought we'd... Oh, you didn't know. Oh, you didn't come on in the beginning of the show.
Don't tell me.
George Duke passed away. Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
my
and so
God, it's my favorite.
I started off the show and just kind of did a talked about him a little bit. Legendary George Duke, 5 decades of collaborating with everybody and their mother.
Why did he die? What happened?
He was sick. It was leukemia, I think. I think it was leukemia, maybe. One of those. I try not to remember why, but it was leukemia. It was a cancer that he had. So he passed away a couple of days ago. I know. Look. So now we're going to honor. Here's what we're going to do. I actually queued up on the board a little George Duke for us, just in case you young folks don't know who he is. We wanted to give you some George Duke. So this is George Duke. Played with everybody from, you know, Frank Zappa, Tina Marie, Barry Manilow, Miles Davis, Pointer Sisters, Al Jarreau, everybody. So we'll take a quick break and listen to some George Duke. He passed away.
All you got to do is take a closer walk with me. And we got this bank that's full of magic tricks. So come feel if you will the magic of the Duke and Dick.
Play, Bubba.
Knocked me off my surfboard there when I heard you say that. I was not aware.
Oh yeah, yep. I didn't do such a big intro because I talked about it a lot at the beginning of the show, and I played a bump. Here's what I played earlier for George Duke, since we're remembering some other George Duke stuff. But I played just as a bump another George Duke song that kind of was just as funky as that one. Do you remember the song? Of course you do.
Of course I do.
I know. I was going to say, so George Duke, jazz guy, he played everything, though. So you can tell this is kind of, yeah. So, you know, he played in, of course, it was close with George Clinton and all those guys. And the funny thing about really good musicians is that depending on how they're feeling is the type of music. So he had some really nice jazz. I mean, he was a jazz artist. So regardless if it was jazz or, you know, some other kind of music, he had a lot of work. So anyway, we played that a little earlier.
That was my favorite was George's jazz, but I loved everything. Like when he played his funk, there was no topping it. But I really loved his jazz as well. And you were right when you said he played with everybody,
yeah.
But still playing with everybody. He was on the cutting edge of music, no matter what age it was.
Right. Like, even this song was probably, I want to say it was 78, maybe. And, you know, his songs have been sampled by everybody. So we can still hear George Duke songs in a lot of music that's out today.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but let's go to phone lines. Daniel, what's going on?
Not much, bro. This Eastern Standard Time continues to throw me off. I thought I'd be better on top of things by now.
You're
talking about with George Duke, just to talk about him as an artist, I think maybe 10 to 15 years ago, he went overseas over to Europe to hone his craft as far as being more classically adept as a musician. So he never stopped learning. So to add to the funk, he went back and did a little bit more of the classical end. And his song, No Rhyme or Reason, man, is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I played that. I'm bringing on No Rhyme or Reason. I don't even know why I didn't think of that. I was just kind of thinking of a bump and some profile stuff. But, yes,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure you and Kathleen agree on that one.
Oh, that song was great.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Hey, Kathleen, before we go on, I know you want to announce something before you step out.
I am speaking this weekend at Greater Springfield Community Church and to single mothers, and it's actually a single mom service. I am the guest speaker. It's Saturday, August 10th at 12 noon, and we're going noon to 2, and we won't be keeping everybody in there all day. But I do want folks to come out and join us. Bring the kids too, because the message is really gonna bless the kids. It's not just the moms; the dads will really want to hear what I have to say. So, and it's good. I'm not tearing down anybody. So don't think that it's not that kind of party. It's no young happening over here.
There you go. There you aren't you glad to hear we're not in the sermon? Like this is yes.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, look, when somebody puts you in the sermon, it's never a good day. So long as we didn't affect your day, that you had to go back and really, we good?
We good.
Okay, no crimes amongst us, Daniel. We're good.
Okay.
So when is that again, Kathleen?
Saturday.
What time?
This Saturday, August 10th, at Springfield Community Church in Jamaica, Queens, 177-06, 129th Avenue, around the corner from Poor Freddy's. If you're in the area, everybody knows where Poor Freddy Tire Center is at. This is not a place for Poor Freddy's, but I do get my tires there. So do
You know, we're not going to even charge Freddy for that plug, but if he needs some tires.
Yeah. And then the church is right around the corner.
You can do that on the fly, Daniel. Just throw Freddy up in there. If you want to plug Whataburger or something, just throw it in there. We just can't keep it moving.
I'm just saying.
Okay. So it's around the corner.
Freddy who?
All right. She was saying it's around the corner from that business is where she's speaking. They're going to stop by that tire place just to find out where Kathleen is. So if you see, if you need a tire, pick it up.
Yeah, just pick up some tires. But don't get them before you come here. Come hear me speak first and leave your car over there, let them do the tires, and then go back after the program.
Okay.
Okay, see, that works. All right, I want to invite you.
Brother Carl be on block.
Well, there's a tire place right around the corner. See how that works? As long as they're not selling you, okay, your tires back, you'd be good. Okay,
exactly.
So Daniel Skeptical, Kathleen. We got to.
I know. Sounds skeptical. That's what I said. I'm going to have to go over there and charge poor Freddie. He's like, what you talking about?
Okay. If you go over to poor Freddie's and get, what is his name? What is the name of the place?
Poor Freddie's.
If you go over there, tell him you came because of Black on Black Crime, and let's see what kind of discount you can get. I don't know what that means. You listen to Black on Black Crime show, heard of their place and needed some tires. Go on over there. We don't have a deal with them, but just see if that works for you. All right. You listen to Black on Black Crime. Our calling number is 909-265-9189. We have some entertainment news and some stories for you that we want to go over. To close out the show, you know, our main topic was Layla Ali versus... Daniel, you wasn't in on this one. Okay, Layla Ali versus Kanye West. She made some comments about the baby name being stupid. So we determined,
oh boy,
I guess, that his baby name
I don't know if that's as bad as calling the baby ugly.
No, that would definitely be a black on black crime. If you saw the baby and called it ugly, that's not the dozens. You can't do that. That is a crime. Whenever you talk about the baby. So she made comments about the baby. I think Kathleen said it wasn't a black-on-black crime. Am I mistaken, Kathleen?
No.
I think she said it. You said it wasn't.
It was not a black-on-black crime. We gave her a pass.
Right. Oh. Mm.
No. It was not a black-on-black because she would have said that about everybody.
Right, okay. So she's saying that
The person who asked her committed the crime.
Right, because it was kind of a setup. It was on a recent interview from Hip Hollywood, their website, and they were asking her. So it's like a YouTube clip now, but they were just kind of asking her about it, and she said she didn't care. The name was just stupid. So,
wow.
And a lot of the internet comments did come back saying, you know, your father changed his name. You could change your name when you get older. So that's just not nice to call a baby name stupid. Just don't call it. So.
Well, it's not like they can walk up on it and say nothing and get knocked out.
See, I think you missed that earlier. That was our point.
Then Layla would drop her.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, Layla. Okay, you want to bob and weave if you're talking about Layla in her face. So I think people pass
right
by her. Bob and weave because her jab ain't – she has a really good straight jab. I don't know about her hook, but she got a straight jab that'll kind of – you got to watch your chin around Layla. Like Kathleen said, if you watch Hollywood House Husbands or whatever that show name is, you'll see her knock out little Kevin Hart. So, yeah, Layla. So,
not hard to do.
We had that. Yeah, that probably wasn't probably that hard to do. And plus we had DMC, who from Run DMC, Daryl McDaniels, made a comment about Jay-Z and Lil Wayne. He just said that their records are just getting played over and over again on the radio. And Lil Wayne and Jay-Z just ain't hot. They're just kind of programmed so much that they're just brainwashed to accept whatever is out there. So he said that that's where Kathleen gave the pass. So our commissioner gave the pass to DMC because he's been in the game and he's just saying, you know what, they're not getting a good mix of music out there anyway. They're just hearing the same things over and over again. And he was making a comparison to, you know, KRS-One and Tribe Called Quest and De La Soul, just saying that they talked about change and some other things and responsibility, but they're just playing the same things over and over on the radio. So Kathleen gave him a pass. Lavinia in the chat room just pretty much said it was mean, but it wasn't a black-on-black crime. So that's where that went. I don't know if you heard that. Yeah, it was kind of a slight little rap war. Now, in the news, I don't know if you heard Finesse, who, you know, we talked earlier, and he was talking about Stephen A. Smith made some comments about the Philadelphia Eagles player who used the N-word in the rant I don't know if you saw that. It's football season, so I'm sure you probably saw this stuff coming.
I saw it. Oh, yeah.
And he was pretty much just he wasn't really suspended. They said it was an undisclosed fine, and he had 4 days off, but he'll be back by Friday's game. But Kobe, who used the gay slur, got a $100,000 fine. His was made public, and his apology was made public. So Stephen A. Smith kind of went on a rant about using the N-word and all of this stuff, and Finesse just pretty much was saying, hey, if Stephen A. Smith is making these, I don't want to paraphrase for him, but he was just saying Stephen A. Smith making comments about, as a culture, we use the N-word and we probably shouldn't kind of thing, is no excuse for that guy making the N-word. But to me, Daniel, the justification is he has to play against a lot of people who he called the N-word in the National Football League. So you can apologize. Your team can be all right all they want to. But the first pass that you catch over the middle, watch out for the pile out.
And it's a brother throwing the ball, so he might lead him into uncharted water.
I didn't even think about that. He float one up across the middle.
Exactly.
I would say payback is going to be a mug when it comes down to it. I know, we sound really mean today, but, hey, this is not a black-on-black crime. But
he come back to the huddle with his helmet on backwards. Hey, man.
Exactly.
Right.
So let this entertainment show be a lesson to you when you talk about culture stuff. When you don't know stuff about culture, just let it go. Just let it go. You're going to be all right. Because no matter how much people forgive you on the surface, you still got to play that game, and that's a contact. We just talked about Layla Ali, right?
Right.
You don't just run up on her because you disagree with her. You might want to tweet that.
You want to jump over there and beat up everybody in the stadium? All right, but we got a lot of us on the field. Come on.
Yep. And he said everyone. He said he'll fight
all
any N-word. Yep, all of you.
All of them. Okay.
Oh, God. So that might be a little problem in our upcoming football season. And again,
can you imagine, man, them lining up and everybody going out and line up on the wide receivers? All of these.
They're like, why isn't everybody else open? There's going to be a new Jordan rule in football this year. I guarantee that if it was the other way around, it was a black person, he'd have been suspended, fined, and all this other stuff. But this guy, they're going to give a pass until somebody hits him too hard, and then you know what that's going to be. Was it retaliation? No, it was football.
Yeah.
Hey, you can't.
Exactly.
You can't. It's like taunting somebody in football. You don't want to do that unless you're really good. Like, I have an interesting story for Donovan McNabb. When Donovan was in college, he came in, he was a redshirt freshman, and the seniors, you know, Donovan was, he was quick. He was very good, obviously. He was a very good pro player, but he was a very good college player. And so what he did, from one of the stories someone told me, one on the team, said that Donovan is running the option. And so Donovan fakes out I don't know if it was a defensive end, a linebacker, but when he got past him, he hit him on the back of the helmet, like while he's in the play. And so the defense is mad because they're not really supposed to hit the quarterback in practice. So all the upperclassmen were trying to take shots at Donovan, but luckily he was so good, Donovan knows how to slip tackles, and they couldn't really lay a good tackle on him. They couldn't get him into context. But you have to be really good if you're going to taunt players. I don't think this guy.
Well, that's like dunking on somebody and then spit on them as you go down to dunk.
Exactly. Yeah. You dunk on them and then you pose and you can't.
Yeah,
unless you're really good.
You do the Heisman up against their forehead and slam on them. Pop.
I know. So just so that you know. That might be a bad day, but that was something in sports news. I'm sure we're going to rake this over to Cole, because once the season starts, there is going to be something to talk about. I can guarantee that part. There'll be something to talk about in that news. Now, in the world of entertainment, do you remember the director F. Gary Gray from Friday. Right, Friday was one of the movies that he did. But do you remember F. Gary Gray? Well, F. Gary Gray, he directed a lot of videos, you know, Waterfalls. He did Friday, and he's done some movies. But F. Gary Gray loves motorcycling, you know, as much as he loves making movies. So he combined his two passions, and he's in a documentary that follows an epic journey of a custom Harley, of Harley Davidson. And in the video, which debuts on Harley Davidson's website, is www.h-d.com/IronElite. F. Gary Gray, you know, again, he did Friday, the director of Friday, and Set It Off. He's described his riding his Harley Davidson as a form of meditation. He says, when I'm not working, I'm riding as a part of his as a part of Harley Davidson's company's 110th anniversary celebration. They're profiling him and Malcolm Jamar Warner and some other folks who ride Harleys driving down, I think, to Florida, or it's either Florida's Bike Week or South Carolina's. So he actually did a documentary, F. Gary Gray. So Harley Davidson enlisted riders from around the world to for their 110th anniversary celebration. So actually, I'm probably going to watch that. It's kind of cool to see that those guys are getting out and doing what they do. All right, so that's F. Gary Gray. And Vanessa K. Bush, who is an award-winning journalist and editor and author, has been named the editor-in-chief of Essence magazine. It was announced that Martha Nelson, the editor-in-chief from Martha Nelson, the editor-in-chief of Time magazine, and she said as editor-in-chief, Bush will serve as the brand's new leader and oversee the magazine's content and vision. And as you remember, there was some talk about Essence kind of betraying its audience, and I'll just say it, it's betraying black women. But anyway, so Bush served as the acting editor-in-chief since February. She's responsible for leading their editorial team. Now, in a news story I missed, speaking of her, as Vanessa Bush, there was over 540,000 attendees from around the world and the globe in New Orleans for the 4th of July, their 19th annual Essence Fest. It made Essence Fest 2013 the largest event in their 19-year history. I forgot to mention that. So Vanessa Bush actually ran that, but she's now editor-in-chief of Essence, probably because she did such a great job with Essence Fest. That has to be a step up. So I wanted to make sure I mention that. But have you ever gone to Essence Fest?
Well, I went to the very first one.
Did you?
And I went to several afterwards. But after a while, I decided, you know what, I'd do something different. But, yeah, the first few, I'm off the chain, man, always.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's always like a big event, 4th of July. But they had their biggest one ever in their 19 years. Now, there's been a lot of feedback on Fruitvale Station. We didn't load up our commentary stuff on Fruitvale for today. But overall, you know, there's a lot of things that's going on in the world. And Fruitvale has been doing great at the box office. But when you reviewed it, how has your perspective changed, like, from what your actual review is to what you're hearing about Fruitvale? What do you think about the movie? And matter of fact, why don't you just go back and tell me what you think about the overall concept of the movie and how it went?
Well, the timing of the release of the movie couldn't have been better, considering the Trayvon Martin verdict and just the talk about how we are perceived in the media and how law enforcement perceives us. And true to form, I think a lot of people have gotten a lot out of that, and it's empowered them at least to move in a direction of getting some things done versus stand your ground and things like that, to just make law enforcement and then other people accountable about how they treat us. The movie, I've talked to maybe a couple of people about what they thought of it. They loved it. Of course, very difficult to stomach the ending, although you know what's going to happen at the end, but I think they liked the way the characters were developed, how the story was told,
And even the interviews that I've seen with the director have been good interviews, the fact that he felt like this is a story that he had to tell. And I'm just so glad that his voice was heard, and then hopefully this leads to bigger and better things for him as a director. But great movie.
Yeah. And early on, I did read that Spike Lee said how great of a job that the director did. And Forrest Whitaker, you know, in some of his interviews with the Butler, talked about how successful and such a great job that this young director, what's his name, Ryan Coogler, did for Fruitvale Station. So if you get a chance, it's still in theaters. It's Fruitvale Station at the big screen. You can check it out. And next week we'll play another part of Daniel's review to give us some concept. We did the characters last time, but we'll kind of do it on the storyline. We know what it is, but in the area of Trayvon Martin, you know, it was just kind of timely that Fruitvale Station came out. And also, you know, before we go out, I wanted to say we have another entertainment story of Tanya Lewis Lee's production company, Spike Lee's wife. Tonic Productions is with our partner Nikki Silver. They have already had the Watsons go to Birmingham, starring Anika Rose and David Alan Greer and Wood Harris. They have their scheduled debut in theaters and on the Hallmark Channel, but they have optioned rights to three novels. So Spike Lee's wife has five films scheduled to come out. That's how good they're doing. So that probably won't carry over because she's doing kind of novels and other type of movies, but I just want to make sure in our entertainment section we said that Tanya Lee Lewis, Tonic Productions, actually has a couple of movies coming out. One is, I'm not a novel reader, so I don't know anything about the Gallagher Girls. One is one of them, and the River Monster and Gotham Diaries, Mistress of Modernism, The Life of Peggy Guggenheim. I don't know any of those movies. How about, Daniel, we should have left that for the women, shouldn't we? To the authors of novels. I'm like, maybe I should have left that story for another day. But she is, since I can't relate to the novels, but I just wanted to make sure I did that story to say congratulations to Tanya Lee Lewis, who is actually under the radar, has five movies. She has one that's done, and she's optioned the rights of three novels and has another one coming out pretty soon. So I'm looking forward to that. And as long as we keep getting it done underground, hey, that is always the way to go. I just want to remind you, listen to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio, here chilling with Daniel, and you can call in and join us on the shows. We're here every Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Today is not Monday, but we're usually here on Mondays, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we just added our Facebook page. Daniel, did you see the Facebook page?
Yes,
that
I
we
like
added for
it.
The show?
I was the first to like it. Okay.
Well, we added a Facebook page. We're coming on a year anniversary on the show this month. So join the page, like it. We'll start to check it out during the show and get some comments from over there. But again, I want to thank everyone for joining us today. Our commissioner, Kathleen, we had Lavinia tearing it up in the chat room. And everyone on the line, thanks for joining us. And tune in again next week for Black on Black Crime. I'm Jerome, brother Daniel, hanging out.
All right.
So we'll see you again next week for more Black on Black Crime. Check us out in the archives. That's espritradio.soulofbusiness.com/BOBC. All right, Daniel. See you again.
All right, bro.
See you next week. All right, bro.
Definitely.